Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. God banished Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden because he didn't want them to eat from the tree of life and live in sin forever. Now, when you hear the term living in sin, you probably think that I'm talking about cohabitation. Living with your romantic partner when the two of you aren't married, because God desires for us to find intimacy only within marriage. And while that can be what that means, the concept of living in sin is so much bigger than just that. Whenever any of us chooses intentionally to do something that we know God doesn't want us to do, and then we choose intentionally to just keep doing it, that's living in sin. In the book of Romans, St. Paul asks this question: shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? In other words, shall we just keep repeating our sins since we know God's going to forgive us anyway? And then he answers this question saying, no, of course not. No way. We've died to sin. How can we keep living in it? Once we regret our sinful behavior, whatever it is, and then we receive God's forgiveness for it, how could we desire to go right back and just do it again? That would mean either we weren't sorry about it in the first place, had no intention of changing, or we don't realize the new life that God is offering us through his forgiveness. So I want to look at the gospel today, the next big event in Jesus' story in the Gospel of John. It's chapter 8, and this woman is caught in the act of adultery. The point of the statement is just, she's guilty, she knows it, everybody knows it. There is no doubt about it. That's what they're saying. The only question is, what's Jesus going to do about this sinful woman? When Jesus challenges her accusers to recognize the depth of their own sins, nobody feels justified to condemn her to death any longer, because nobody in the crowd is without sin. And then after everyone leaves, Jesus asks, woman, where are they? Has nobody condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then Jesus says, then neither do I condemn you. Remember, he is the only one that could still stand there, because he doesn't sin. He hasn't sinned. He says, I'm not going to condemn you either. But go now and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more. Jesus tells her that she's forgiven, she's free to go, and he tells her to stop living in the sin that she's been participating in. Go and sin no more, he says. Go and sin no more. Now, I want to ask you how you would feel if in the very next chapter, chapter 9, you read how this same woman was brought again the very next day, or let's give her a week. The very next week was brought again before Jesus. And Jesus was told again, this same woman was caught in the same act of adultery she was caught in last week. How would you feel knowing that she was just saved from certain death by Jesus the week before? That she was given a second chance by Jesus, that she was shown mercy and grace and love and compassion. And the way she decided to repay that kindness was to immediately go back and sin in the very same way, putting herself back in this horrible situation where she was going to get stoned to death. Wouldn't you feel a little frustrated with her? Of course you would. And of course, Jesus is frustrated every single time one of us takes this free gift of grace and forgiveness, and we choose to continue living in our sin rather than turning away from it. How many of you would like freedom from some kind of sin in your life? A sin that you keep living in, that you just keep going back to. You know what's wrong, you just keep going back to it. Because Jesus offers you the same freedom through the forgiveness of your sins, no matter what it is. And you no longer need to experience that guilt and that frustration and that shame that you've probably been living with. But you're not going to find the freedom that you seek if you just go right back to doing the same thing again. Repentance means turning away from that sin and living differently. Instead of living in sin, we're called to live in the light of Jesus, which means we know we're not perfect. We've never been, we'll never be, but we're imperfect people saved by grace, trying our best to live according to how God wants us to. I mean, if you're currently living in sin, whatever that sin is, and you want freedom, please repent. I mean, turn away from it. Do everything you can. Turn away from that life, and Jesus will forgive you again and again and again. 70 times 7, it says in the Bible, which is a shorthand for saying limitlessly, he's going to forgive you. But it's just that he makes it clear that we have to recognize that living in sin, whatever that sin is a danger to our relationship with God, because we're missing out on the freedom that God wants us to experience here on this earth. Living in sin looks like all kinds of things, you see? Living in sin looks like someone who gets drunk all the time and then apologizes and says that they're going to change. But instead of seeking help and finding a way to turn away from the alcohol, they just get drunk right away again. That's living in sin. Living in sin looks like a guy who screams and yells at his wife, punches the wall and threatens to hurt her, and then right away says he's so sorry and that he'll do better the next time, and then next week it happens all over again. That's living in sin. Living in sin sounds like gossiping about a family who's struggling in your community and then saying to someone, oh, I don't mean to gossip, but then listening to the next person who has a little juicy tidbit about the same situation. That's living in sin. Living in sin means talking badly about somebody, then coming to church and asking for forgiveness from God, and then going right back out and talking badly about the same person again. That's living in sin too. I hope that what you're getting from this is that every single one of us is living in some kind of sin. We're living in sin. We know that we're doing things wrong. We feel badly about it sometimes. We want to change sometimes. We ask for forgiveness all the time, but we go right back and do it again anyway. But here's the thing. Here's what's so scary and dangerous about living in sin. Eventually, we stop asking for forgiveness because we know deep down that it's wrong to take advantage of God's grace like that. We stop feeling guilty. We stop repenting. We start justifying our actions. We start finding places in the Bible where it could maybe give us, say, it's okay what we're doing. And we accept a life that's less than what God wants for us. And most of the time, you don't even realize that you've accepted this life because you're living in the darkness of your sin. You don't even realize what's happening to you. There's a scene in the movie God's Not Dead where a man is talking to his mother who has dementia. And he says, you prayed and believed your whole life, never done anything wrong. And here you are, you're the nicest person I know, and I am the meanest. And you have dementia, and my life is perfect. Explain that to me. His mother responds, sometimes the devil allows people to live a life free of trouble because he doesn't want them turning to God. Their sin is like a jail cell, except it's all nice and comfy, and there doesn't seem to be any reason to want to leave. The door's wide open. Till one day, time runs out, and the cell door slams shut, and suddenly it's too late. See, living in sin, whatever the sin is like that jail cell. We get so comfortable sinning that we don't realize how dangerous it is until it's too late. So now this moment in the Gospel of John, in the story of Jesus, is pivotal, okay? Jesus is showing the crowds that God's love and forgiveness is more radical than they could have ever imagined. And that's what I want to remind you again of here at the end of this message today. We are all like this woman caught in adultery. The name of the sins might be different, of course, but it's the same situation. Your story might be called the man caught in gluttony, or the woman caught with a bitter heart, or the girl caught lying, or the boy caught disobeying his parents. But the punishment for sin is the same for all of us, and God's complete and total forgiveness is the same as well. And he tells every one of us to go and sin no more. He wants us to live a life of freedom. Now, you may have been living in sin for a long, long time, but again, you have the chance today to find the freedom you want, to turn away from those choices, to find a new way of life. I know it would be hard. Sin wouldn't be that difficult if it was easy to turn away from. It's going to be hard to turn away from those choices and to find a new life. Adam and Eve, they had to find a new place to live when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. The woman caught in adultery, she had to live with the consequences of her choices, but she also had the chance of new life that she didn't have before Jesus. And you each have that chance today as well. I just ask you to not waste it. Count yourselves dead to that sin, whatever the sin is, and alive because of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a new way of life. Ask the Holy Spirit for the strength to turn away from that temptation and to resist it in Jesus' name. Don't just keep justifying how you were living before. Don't keep living a life less than what God wants for you. Follow God into the future that he has planned for you, the future that he died on the cross to give you. Amen.